As we go to God's Word today, I'd like for you to turn with me to Psalm 92. Psalm 92 and verse 10. And I talked with you in the introduction about my need for fresh oil. Fresh oil for a new ministry that God is calling us to and entrusting us with. And it's my desire, by the time that I leave here today, to be able to say to you, I have been anointed with fresh oil. Now, I told you that this is also going to be an illustrated sermon. So there is a good chance that you're going to see something today that you have never seen before. Now, I want you to grow in that grace to where every time you come to Truth Tabernacle of Praise, God might show you things that you've never seen before. Amen? Now, I'm gonna do a very brief, I think, preaching, teaching time here, because I want the demonstration of it. I want the illustration of it to be shown to you. And so if it's a little bit cumbersome as we make transition from proclamation to demonstration to application, you'll have grace for that as well. In Psalm 92:10, the psalmist makes a declaration. He says in verse 10, "But you have exalted my horn." Now, the word horn in the scripture obviously is a reference to the animal, the ram's horn. You know, and it was a reference to its strength. It was a reference to its vitality. It was a reference to its identity. You know, and the bigger the horn, Keith, you let 5 points and 6 point walk by, right? And you looking for that trophy buck, one that's got the big rack. Well, that's what the psalmist is saying. God, you have exalted my horn. You have elevated my strength. You have elevated my identity. You have done that. And listen to how he says that he did it. He says, "You've done that like that of a wild ox." He says, "I have been anointed with fresh oil." As I said to you, fresh oil. Oil is a reference to the Holy Spirit. Oil was used by God, as we're going to see here, to impart the anointing of the Lord, to illustrate what God was doing sovereignly for the people that were seeing it visibly. Now, there are four things that I want to call to your attention before we demonstrate this. First of all, what I want us to do is explore the precedent. If we're going to talk about being anointed with fresh oil, one of the things that I always want to do is I want to make sure there's a biblical basis for what we do. I believe there ought to be a healthy marriage between the Word and the Spirit. This church was birthed on being a Word and a Spirit church. There are a lot of Word churches in the kingdom and nothing against them. There are a lot of Spirit churches in the kingdom and there's nothing wrong with them, but there's not as many Word and Spirit churches. And I want us to be a Word and a Spirit church. And so what I want you to do for the message that I'm preaching today, I have been anointed with fresh oil. I want us to explore the biblical precedent for what you're going to see. In Exodus chapter 29 and verse 7, Moses was instructed to take the anointing what? Take the anointing oil and do what to it? And pour it. Now, if you'll notice, we usually keep some fresh oil right down here. And usually this vial or this container is plenty sufficient for what you want and what you're going to be asking for and what you're going to be trusting the Lord for. How many of you, I'm going to date myself and probably date you if you recognize this, how many of you remember the Brill Cream commercials? How many of you know what Brill Cream was? You know, remember their slogan? What was their theme? A little what? A little dab will do you. All right? You see, us in the evangelical circles, we are still Brill Cream Christians. We believe when it comes to anointing that a little dab will do you. If you go to a church and they actually have any oil, this will last a good 10 years unless it soils. Why? Because we put the little Brill Cream, a little dab of do you right there, sister, a little dab of do you right there, and it does. You know, there's nothing magical about this. You know, there's nothing supernatural about this. It's illustrative. And there are times and there are seasons when a little dab will do you, but we're exploring the precedent for what we're going to be showing you in just a moment here. And it says, take the anointing oil and touch it. It doesn't say touch it, does it? What's it say? And pour it. Pour it on whom? Aaron's head and anoint him. Oh, I want to tell you, they still remember in the years later this time when Aaron was anointed. The psalmist, he even wrote this in Psalm 133, that when brothers and sisters dwell together in unity, he said, it is like the oil. The precious oil flowing down Aaron's beard, dripping down his garments to the hem of his robe. Oh, I want to tell you, little dab didn't do them that day. They poured it. Well, what was the significance of all of that? What was it? Well, the psalmist in Psalm 23, you remember that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. And then listen to what he says. He says, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my what? Enemies. And then your Bible says, when you have prepared a table for me to sit down in the presence of mine enemies, you anoint my head with what? With oil. You know, the anointing is not only a supernatural release of power onto your life, the anointing protects you from the enemies that are trying to steal from you, kill you, and destroy you. How many of you know if the devil can cause a preacher to stumble, he causes the faith of many to fall as well? You know, I need your prayer covering. David needs your prayer covering. Daryl needs your prayer covering. And you know what we need partnering with your prayer covering? Is we need fresh oil. We need the fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit so that we can sit down in the presence of our enemies and understand that the rod and the staff will bring comfort to us. And so today, what we're doing is laying the foundation by exploring the precedent in the Scripture for this. This is a biblical thing that was done back then. And it left such an indelible mark on the people's minds that years later, when David was writing the 23rd Psalm, he was saying, God, you've done that for me too. You've done that for me. Not only did the priest get anointed, but the kings got anointed. Not only did the priest and the kings get anointed, but the prophets needed to have fresh oil and anointing. Amen? Well, let me show you the second thing real quickly here. We want to explore the precedent of this today, but let's explain the purpose. Let's explain the purpose for the anointing. And again, we go to the Word of God to help us with a purpose. In Exodus chapter 40, verse 15, a continuation of the instructions that God had given to Moses and Moses had given to the children of Israel. In Exodus chapter 40, verse 15, he said, I want you to anoint Aaron's sons as you have anointed their father. And then there's the word that. In your outline, you'll see that it says that or so that. Now, depending on which translations you use, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, anytime you see a that or a so that is a purpose statement. That's a purpose clause. It's giving you the purpose for the instruction or the promise or the principle that it gave you. Anoint Aaron's sons as you have anointed their father. What's that next word? That. In order that. So that they may what? They may minister. How did we begin this service? I talked to you about four new ministries that God is calling me to have here with you at Truth Tabernacle. God's wanting me to minister in a preaching ministry, in a strengthening ministry, in an encouraging ministry, and in an inviting ministry, and I need the oil. I need the Holy Spirit. I need the fresh touch of God. I need the power of God on me to do this so that I might minister to you, that I might help meet some of your needs in the name and power of Jesus. That's what ministry is, and that's what ministers do. They meet people's needs in the name and the power of God. And that's what you are. You are a minister. You need the oil too. You need the power as well. You need the fresh oil as well. But especially in the office of pastor, I need this fresh oil. Amen? He says, so that they may minister as priest to me. Now, the importance of a priest, especially as we learn from them, is that a priest, the people depended upon the priest to have access to God. Now, you are a kingdom of priests. You're a royal priesthood because you've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you. But God has given us five positional ministries here. And that is, you've got apostles, you've got evangelists, you've got prophets, you've got pastors, you've got teachers. And all of those need fresh anointing. All of those need that, and you depend crucially. The kingdom depends upon those in office having access to God. We need to have access to God so that we can hear from God, so that we can communicate and speak forth the oracles of God, the truths of God. And I want to tell you, I take that seriously, and you're about to see a demonstration of that seriousness of it. So that they may minister as priests to me, and their anointing will what? Qualify. Say, Pastor, we want you qualified. How many of you know that mama don't call you to preach? Daddy don't send you to preach. God calls you to preach. And God has chosen the weak things to confound the wise. God has chosen the foolish things of this world to show forth His excellence. And that's what I want this vessel to do, is I want this vessel to be used of God as a weak vessel that's full of power, that's got a treasure inside. See, we're all just clay vessels. We're just earthen vessels. These are earth suits that we have. If I'd have known I was going to live in it this long, I'd have taken better care of this earth suit. But one day, we're going to get rid of these earth suits, amen? But the treasure is inside. And that's the Holy Spirit. And so that their anointing will qualify them for a perpetual priesthood throughout their generations. So we've explored the precedent. We've explained the purpose for what we're going to do so that we might more adequately and sufficiently and powerfully minister to you in the name and power of God. But number three, let's expound the prophecy. Let's expound the prophecy for just a moment, all right? In Isaiah chapter 61:1, there is a profound prophecy that Isaiah wrote. And in Isaiah 61:1, he says, the Spirit of the Lord God is where? Is upon me. I just can't emphasize to you enough that there is a distinction between the indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit and the empowering ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of us, from the evangelical backgrounds that we came from, we were never told a distinction. We think that God just got confused or didn't have anything better to do, and the prepositions that He uses, they really don't mean all that much. You know, it's just, you say tomato, I say tomato. It's not that at all. When God says in, He means in. And when God means upon, He means upon. And many of us have been contented to live with the indwelling without releasing the empowering. But look at Isaiah says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has what? The Lord has anointed me. He has qualified me. He has empowered me to do what? To bring good news to the afflicted. Oh, say, Pastor, I need you to be anointed because there's times that I come in here, I'm going to be afflicted. I've been afflicted. I got afflicted all the way to the parking lot out there. You know, there is an anointing in the parking lot for a lot of churches. I mean, there's fussing, there's fighting, there's backstabbing, there's name-calling, all that, but you get to the church, the anointing hit me, and everything is fine. Everything is fine. Oh, there's a different anointing than that, all right? All right. The Spirit of the Lord God's upon me because He's anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted, and He has, what's that word? Sent. When you get that prophecy fulfilled in the New Testament, that is the word apostle. Someone sent with authority. Someone sent with a mission. Someone sent with a purpose. He says, for the Lord has anointed me to bring news, good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. How many broken hearts am I looking at today? You ever had your heart broken? Everybody's had your heart broken. And when it's broken, you don't ever know if it'll ever be put back together. Boy, between the last time that I was here and this time, there was one of the families that had a tragic heartbreaking. Brother Darrell, God used you to minister, you know, to them. Was it Moses? That family. You know, what happens? We need people here that have been anointed to encourage those who have been brokenhearted and to proclaim legalism. Is that what that says? Somebody help me now. My glasses, I'm not focusing up real good right there. My memory like that. What is it that an anointed minister ought to be bringing to the house when he comes? It ought not be bringing legalism, which is witchcraft. He ought to be bringing liberty. He ought to be bringing freedom. He ought to be helping the captives be set free. Amen? Oh, I want to tell you, that's what fresh oil will do for you. And this is a prophecy that was being given by Isaiah, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. All right. How many need this to be a favorable year for you? How many need this to be a favorable year for you? That you want God to say, the season you've been in is enough. That's in the past, and this is now, and this is going to be a year of favor for you. Well, I want to tell you, the Spirit of the Lord, when He comes upon you, He will anoint you and equip you to be able to announce those kinds of things. And that's the ministry that God is calling me to do. All right. Now, where did this come to pass? Well, oh, Jesus. Say Jesus. Jesus in Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Your Bible tells us some interesting things about what Jesus did. And In Matthew chapter 3, it says, After Jesus was baptized, immediately, your Bible says, the heavens were opened. The heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit, in the form of a dove, descended upon Him. There it is again. Descended upon Him. And then from the heavens that were opened, the Holy Spirit that came out and sat upon Him, a voice began to speak. And the voice from heaven said, "This is My beloved Son. This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You know, when Jesus was publicly baptized, John tells us about this, that He was sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now, most of us think of sealing as only being a thing of security. But I want to tell you, the least thing that Jesus needed was security. I wouldn't anybody knew who He was more than Jesus knew who He was. That's one aspect of sealing. You seal something secure, and you see that in Scripture. But more times than you see it being used for security, you'll see it for affirmation. You see, what was the Father doing to the Son through His obedience? He was affirming Him as being His beloved. And He knew that the times were going to come when the religious crowd was going to spit at Him. They were going to hate Him. They were going to plot to kill Him. They were going to be against Him. They were going to make life hard for Him. And it was going to lead to an old scourging, to where he was beaten and he was bruised and he was wounded. And when He was nailed on the cross, and when He became the sin of the world, and between now and then, He needed the Father's affirmation. When you have fresh oil, when you are anointed, you receive the Father's affirmation. And when you have the Spirit of God come upon you, because He's already in you, you'll never forget what it means to be wrapped in Abba's arms, to be Daddy's child, and to be the Father's favorite son or daughter? How many of you have had a father or mother, grandfather or grandmother, or a special one in your life that made you feel like you're the special one to them, that they love you more than they love anybody else? How many of you have seen somebody else that you thought was loved more than you were somebody else? Most of us have that, but oh, what a treasure it is. What a gift it is when you know that Daddy loves you more than anybody else. And whoever it is knows that Daddy loves them more than he loves anybody else, because Daddy's got enough love to go for everybody. And everybody's Daddy's favorite son or daughter. Amen? Well, when Jesus was baptized and the Spirit of God came out of heaven upon him, and he heard the Father say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," the very next thing that happens to him, and Luke records it for us in the parallel account, Luke says in chapter 4, verse 18, "This day, this scripture is being fulfilled in your sight. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And then when he did that, he folded up the scroll of Isaiah and he set it down and went about the Father's business. Well, thus far, we have explored the precedent of being anointed with oil. We have explained the purpose of being anointed with oil. We've expounded this prophecy of being anointed with the Holy Spirit. And fourthly, let me show you this one. Expect the power. Expect the power. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 13, the Bible says, what's that first word in your outline and on the PowerPoint screen? Then. Now here's another little clue that'll help you in your Bible study. Whenever you see that, understand it's a purpose statement. And whenever you see then, it's a timing statement. And ask yourself then, if then is when was then? All right? Your Bible says, then Samuel took the what? Took the horn of oil. Now, we don't have a horn here. This is our horn. They didn't have glass back in that day. They took the horn of oil and what? Anointed him in a secret place. Is that what it says? You know, some of us, we'd take a little Brill Cream, but we want to do it where nobody else is watching. Some of us take a little fresh oil, but we don't want anybody else to see it. I understand that. We've got privacy. We've got modesty. And God is God, and we're not. Amen. But David, when he was chosen, and when God had affirmed and confirmed to the pastor search team of one, Samuel, when God had confirmed that, what Samuel did to illustrate that, he took a horn of oil and he anointed David in the midst of his brothers. Now, what happened when David was anointed with oil? The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came discreetly. It doesn't say discreetly, does it? The Spirit of the Lord came timidly. No, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily. Now, how does the Spirit of the Lord come mightily? And how would anybody else know when the Spirit of the Lord had come mightily? I mean, it's not guesswork. It's not, I suppose that the oil is poured, now the Spirit must be there. I want to tell you, the Apostle Paul understood it. He said, when I came to you bunch of Corinthians, I didn't come to you with enticing words of human speech, but I came to you in power and demonstration of the Spirit's power. I want to tell you that there are signs and there are wonders that God wants to release in His kingdom. Why? Because the kingdom of God is the realm of the ungrieved spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And where the Spirit of the Lord is liberty, there is freedom to be set free. The captives can be set free. The afflicted can be encouraged. The brokenhearted can be uplifted. And the good news can be proclaimed. I want to tell you, we're not asking God for a spirit of timidity. He said, I'm not giving that to you. I'm not giving you the spirit of fear. I'm not giving you the spirit of timidity, but I've given you power. I've given you love. I've given you a sound mind. And what the word of the Lord says is that you'll receive power. Now, what is power? Power is the ability to create change. Power is the capacity to influence change for the glory of God. When you preach, when you witness, people can be convicted. How many of you know the Holy Spirit still convicts people of sin? He still convicts people of righteousness and of judgment that's coming. How many of you know what no one can say Jesus is Lord without the Spirit of God? That's what we want, is when people come onto this house, when people come into this place, they want to meet the Spirit of the Lord, living Lord. They want to know that there is power to overcome the temptation at home. There is power to live a holy life. There is power to be victorious. There is power to be a godly mother. There is power to be a godly grandmother and a father and a grandfather. There is power in the name of Jesus. Amen. But the fresh oil will come upon you. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from when till when? From that day forward. Now, sometimes when the Spirit of the Lord God comes upon you, that's the faith you have to start walking in. Yeah, and you're not going to see that Spirit of the Lord's power until there's a circumstance that He's invited you to make a difference in. It might be a cup of cold water that you give. It might be a children's lesson that you teach. It might be a praise team that you sing. It might be an ushering ministry. It might be a security ministry. It might be the house cleaning ministry. Any number of ways. Now, we all want the call. Yes, let me have the fire calling down ministry. And we all want that, don't we? But I want to tell you, we got to do the daily things. We got to do the mundane things because God's in the details. God is a God of details, and He's in every detail. And we need to take care of the details with excellence and with His power, saith the Lord. Amen? And so, but David, from that moment forward, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Now, what's one of the first things that David did after that? He took lunch to his brothers who were up on the front line being shouted at and intimidated by a 7-foot-plus giant named Goliath. And when David went up there, he heard this uncircumcised Philistine taunting the God of Israel. And he saw the sons of Israel in a little unholy huddle over on the side. What are we going to do? I don't know. You know, what are you going to do about it? I don't know. What are you going to do? I don't know. What can we do? He's so big. He's so big. He's got brothers. If you deal with him, you got to deal with his brothers. And David comes up and hears this. Now, where's David been? David just been anointed with the Lord. And he said, what's going on here? And then his brother rebukes him. What are you doing up here? You've just come up here for more attention. What have you done with those few sheep we left you with? David said, I've made provision for my few sheep. They're being taken care of. Then he looked at that and he said, this is not right. Is there not a cause in all of Israel? Then he said, What are y'all going to do for the man that kills him? Well, his father's house is going to be paid for. He's going to become a prince among Israel. He's going to get to marry a daughter of a king. And all of the wealth and influence that comes with it is his. You mean I get to be used by God in this powerful display, and you get benefits too? You come to me with your spears and your javelins, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. How many of you know the name of the Lord is a strong tower? The righteous run into it, and they are safe. Oh, what is the anointing? John tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, the anointing is the power of God in you. It's the Holy Spirit. The power of God in you. John says, but you have the anointing. The Holy One lives in you. But the anointing is not only the power of God in you, it's the presence of God working through you. God wants to come upon you so He can release what's in you so He can work through you. And when you are anointed with the Holy Spirit, the hard work God has called you to do becomes supernatural work that He gets you through. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info@truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.